Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But a man who's not sleeping and is in fact wide awake, he is Mr. Marion Polk, and he is the new national commander of AmVets and joins us in studio right now to talk a little bit about himself, a little bit about AmVets, and a lot about what his plan for his time in office as national commander is. So, National Commander Polk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Now, where and when did you serve? I understand you are from perhaps the least represented of our services that we see in the veterans organizations.
Correct. Yes. 1969, I joined the United States Coast Guard. And I'm only the second national commander out of the 74 that we've had from the Coast Guard.
Wow. So only two out of 74 coming from the Coast Guard. And what did you do while you were in the Coast Guard?
I mainly ran small boats, motor life boats on the West Coast. And then I spent a lot of time in the Gulf in Florida, drug interdiction.
Oh, wow. Life work. One of the most important jobs that the Coast Guard does, particularly in our southern states. Now, Marion, how long did you serve and what year did you end up getting out of the Coast Guard?
I joined in 1969, a little over 20 years. I retired in 1989 and worked in the private sector for a year and then went to work with the state of Louisiana.
When you left in 1989, again, it's always interesting to talk to those people who've retired from the armed services because it became a way of life for you. 20 years of doing it every day, that becomes a part of the fabric of who you are. What do you remember about that period, that retirement period for you when you transitioned from, you know, Coast Guardsman Marion Polk to veteran Marion Polk? What was that like for you?
I really didn't go without a job. I mean, I love what I did in the 20 years I was in the Coast Guard. I mean, I loved every minute of it. In fact, if they call me back up now, I think I would just say, yes, no problem. I would go back in and do what I was doing before.
Right.
And because I'm able to do that. I'm still young enough to do it. But it was an easy transition for me because I was actually working before I was retired. I went to work before I retired from the Coast Guard. I was on leave for like 2.5 months, and I already had a job working in the private sector.
Wow. So you actually had that preparation going back then, which particularly when we talk to those who got out in the era before the transition assistance programs that they have now, where they're really focusing on trying to prepare people for getting out of the service. Back in 89, when you retired, was the Coast Guard in general doing a lot for people to prepare them to get out? Or was it kind of, hey, thanks for your service, Marion, and good luck out there?
More or less, thanks for your service. We did not have a lot of the TAPS programs that they go through now, you know, transition programs. Back then, they didn't have all that set up. Of course, some of the members that were in during that time frame probably needed some of that. But I guess I was just one that didn't have to. You know, I mean, I just transitioned right out and went into being a civilian.
And we're speaking with Marion Polk. Marion is the new national commander of AmVets, American Veterans, for this year going into next. And we're going to talk to him in just a moment about that time and how he plans to spend it. But Marion served in the Coast Guard for over 20 years, retiring in 1989. And then how did you come to be associated with AmVets? Did you join up right after you retired or did it take a little while?
It actually took a while. I really didn't know anything about AmVets. I was at the drip rail, little local store in the area where I live.
Right.
And it's members only. If you show up, you're a member. And one of the guys was talking, and he said, are you a veteran? And I said, sure. He says, well, I need to take you to AmVets. And I asked him, I said, what's AmVets? So he told me it was, you know, the organization he belonged to. So we went to the wife and I took us to the post. And the minute I walked in, I joined. And I've been a member ever since. And having a great time doing it.
Since you joined AmVets, what do you think has been the biggest benefit for you personally that membership in the organization has provided?
I think it's just a feeling of helping veterans. I really never was involved in that until I joined AmVets. And once I joined and I was able to get out and start seeing how these other veterans were being treated and being able to help out with their situations, providing assistance to them, that's what I love. I love about it. And I continue doing it every day.
Now, you've risen to the rank of national commander in AmVets. Is that something that starts off as on a local level where you start taking positions in your local post and then kind of move on from there? What was the process for you going from initially joining AmVets up to the current spot where you are now as the top guy in the AmVets organization?
Yes, on the post level, and they call them the green hats because that's the color hats they wear, is a green hat. And that's the working part of AmVets, is the green hats on the post level. I started out being elected to a post office, one of the officers. I was elected to the post commander, and then I moved up to the state level, started working on the state level, and moved up to the state commander. I was national District 3 commander, which is in charge of Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, and Arkansas.
Hmm.
And then once I got to that position, I said, well, I went ahead and started going up through the national level, which started out as national finance officer. I moved from national finance officer to national second vice, first vice last year, and was elected commander this year.
Wow. So really a process that's been years in the making for you to get to this point. Was it ever a goal of yours, or was it just something that sort of kind of happened where you ended up being national commander?
When I first joined AmVets, it wasn't a goal to move up in the chain, but I started talking to some of the past national commanders, and they asked me if I was seriously looking at moving up in the national level, and I told them yes, I was planning on doing it, but I was planning on doing it when I thought I was ready to do it. And I didn't just jump right into it. I learned about AmVets. I'm constantly going through our constitution and bylaws. I read them. Not every day, but I mean, I read them once a week. I go in and look stuff up in our constitution and bylaws, because that's part of it too. You have to know what you're talking about,
right?
Whenever someone asks you a question about it, and but anyway, I'm moved up at the right time, I believe, and I'm glad to be here now, doing what I'm doing.
We're speaking with Marion Polk. Marion is the new national commander of AmVets and will serve in that position for 1 year, starting in 2017, ending 2018. And Marion, that year, what's your plan of action for this year that you're serving as national commander of AmVets? What are you going to do?
Well, like right now, we've had these hurricanes come up.
Oh, yeah.
And they have been a major, major problem. This next week, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I'm going to be making a tour of mainly Florida and in the southern states where Irma, I think it was the name of it.
Irma was the one that went through Florida. Harvey was Texas. And now I think it's Maria that's hit Puerto Rico so devastatingly in the last day.
But anyway, I'm going to be taking a couple of weeks and making a tour down through Florida and visit some of the posts that were hit down there. I'm actually going to be loading my vehicle up when I leave and taking supplies down to them that we've collected at our headquarters office.
Mm. Now we've talked with various representatives of various VSOs about the things that are most important to their organization. What do you think is most important to AmVets? What do you think the focus of AmVets should be over the next year as you're serving as national commander?
Well, one of the main things is on our legislative department. We've got to look at making sure that the laws that are passed are going to be beneficial to all our veterans. We keep up on that. Our legislative department is fantastic. Our executive director, Joe Cinelli, he's on the Hill quite a bit. Our next trip up there is actually next Tuesday, and I'm going to be out of town, so I'm not going to be able to go up there with them. But they're in capable hands of taking care of that. But most of it is the legislative part of it, is getting these bills passed and keeping these bills in place to help all our veterans.
Is there anything that you are hoping to change while you're in office over the next year? Anything that you look at now and say, I don't know if I love this. It's something that we should probably be doing a little bit differently. Or is it mainly just staying the course that the previous national commanders have put AMVETS on?
Well, it's keeping AMVETS on top of the VSO's list is helping our veterans. That's the main thing. I mean, you can't go in and do a lot of changing in 1 year,
right?
But we can carry on what our predecessors have done for everything that we do for the veterans on the Hill. That's the main thing. And if things come up that we need to pursue there, then AMVETS is going to be there. We'll be one of the first ones on the Hill trying to take care of that. One of the things that we just worked on a couple of months ago was the IU, individual unemployability. We hit the Hill with that because they were going to cut that. And I believe with our help, by going on the Hill and hitting all our senators, and we took it to the secretary of the VA, and it's still in effect now.
Right. And it's great that the VSOs are able to lobby for those things that they find so important, and that they're able to take a look at and say, nope, we're going to take a stand on this. And seeing AMVETS along with the Legion, the VFW, all the rest of the organizations coming together when necessary. They all have different memberships. They all have different needs and desires of their memberships. But it's great to see when you guys are able to get together, work together. And we saw with individual unemployability, we saw with the choice funding and a few other things recently, how impressive that can be when all the VSOs get together. And we are joined live in studio by the new national commander of one of those VSOs, the biggest, I believe, in the United States, AMVETS. And that is Marion Polk, who is a national commander who will be serving from 2017 to 2018 and working very closely with AMVETS Executive Director Joe Schinelli, who is quietly been sitting in studio as well with us this morning, because hey, the national commander's here, so Joe doesn't need to say as much. Joe, when you look at Marion coming in as national commander, and as your position is not an annual position, you're there for a number of years, what do you see as what Marion brings to the table as national commander?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely, our pleasure.
Yeah, so the way our system is set up here, the way AMVETS is set up, is we have the fraternal side, and we have, as you just mentioned, a more permanent side where we are actual employees of the organization. What happens here is the national commander is elected each year at our national convention, and he or she puts their life on hold for a year and actually comes out here and lives a few miles from our headquarters for the entire year and travels all over the country. The great benefit of having the national commander there is, as Marion here said so well, he worked his way up, so he got to know every level of our organization. He got to see how it all works, and he brings it here to Washington, and keeps us grounded here in Washington, keeps us connected to the average veteran who, whether is down in the South or in the Midwest or wherever it is, they're able to keep us connected to the rest of the veterans population. Most of the staff at headquarters are veterans, but when you come to Washington, you're working here on the Hill or in the administration or wherever, day in and day out, it's easy to lose touch with what's really happening out there. So our national commander and his officers are able to keep us connected to that and really provide a point of view that we would not otherwise have.
Marion, where is home for you typically?
I live in Alexandria.
Well, Alexandria, Virginia?
Louisiana.
Oh, okay. See, you had me there. I saw the grin on your face.
Yes.
And I was like, he's just walked me into a trap.
Yes,
that's what we know. The Coasties, man, they're always very tricky. You never know what they're up to.
But we're always ready.
Definitely. what has the experience of moving to Washington, D.C. been like for you so far? And is it something that you were looking forward to, or is it something where you were kind of like, I'd rather be back home in Alexandria, but I've got to go up and do what I got to do in D.C.?
No, I look forward to it, to coming up. I was actually stationed here in 72 through 74 while I was in the Coast Guard.
So you had some familiarity with the area.
A little, but, you know, in 40-plus years, it's changed.
Quite a bit, I imagine. Also, what you're doing up here is going to be a little bit different than while your time serving in the Coast Guard, I imagine. So is that a daunting task for you, the fact that you're going to be in the nation's capital dealing with politicians that you may have come across on TV or in the newspaper before? Now you're going to be seeing them eye to eye and being able to get your message across to them. Do you ever do you think about that as a positive? Do you look at it as something that is a little intimidating? How do you view it?
Oh, no, it's not intimidating. No, not at all. In fact, one of our representatives here from Louisiana is my representative. He's a life member of my post in Alexandria, Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ralph Abraham. He's a member of my post. Just before I left to come up, the week before the first, I was at a veterans affairs meeting in Lafayette, Louisiana, and Senator Cassidy was there, and I met him while I was there. So
right.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me to go in and sit down in offices and talk to these representatives and senators about what we want to get for our veterans.
Joe, how important is it to have a national commander who is, again, not going to be starstruck by sitting across from a president, a senator, someone like that? A national commander who understands that he's not here for sightseeing. He's not here for meeting celebrities. He's here to do a job for AMVETS, and that the membership expects that from him. How important is it to have someone like Marion, who clearly is not really going to care if he's talking to me or if he's talking to Senator McCain?
It's a tremendous asset, the confidence and the experience, and that's why it's such a long process to get to this position to be the national commander. And it means a whole lot more to these lawmakers and their staff when someone who's actually coming in from their district, who they know back there, is suddenly here in Washington and in their face for a year straight. a lot of times these lawmakers can get away from their constituents by coming to Washington. When we can bring their constituents here to Washington, it makes a huge difference.
Makes a huge difference. And then you have that local face who then is also able to make a national impression, to let people know, like, hey, wherever you're living, if you are a congressman from Joe's home state of New York, I mean, he's almost from Canada, if we're really honest about it, Marion. But New York, technically, he's still from. If it's a congressman from New York that Marion may otherwise never have come across, he may now be able to make that impression, like, hey, this is what we're seeing in the Southeast where I'm from. Here's how it could affect your veterans in New York. An important conversation to have, and one that Marion Polk will be having with many people in Washington, D.C. over the next year, because he was recently elected the national commander of AMVETS, and he joins us now live in studio. Marion, if there's a message you could give to the membership of AMVETS about what your plan of action is, what you're going to do for them in Washington, D.C. over the next year, what would that message be?
Well, like I stated earlier, starting out with the green hats, with the post level, our programs that we have, and we have numerous programs in AMVETS, and we report these programs on a daily basis, and we use those statistics, those hours, those dollar figures, that when we do go to the Hill and we walk into a senator's office or a representative's office and said, you know, we want you to look at taking care of this bill for us or helping us out with this bill. And these are the volunteer hours that our individual members have donated over this year, over the 6 months or whatever the time frame is. And this is what we're doing. And we're doing this to help our veterans. And we would like for you to do the same thing for us by taking care of this bill or helping us with this bill or getting this bill passed to help us. And of course, we vote for you, please. You know, I mean, yeah. we'll, know, that kind of thing. But the figures are what we need, fuel for the fire when we go up there. Mm. And but we just need to carry on what we're doing in on a daily basis. Well, you know, with that as far as the membership goes, and get our we've been pushing our membership now about getting the younger veterans in,
right?
Getting them to come in and put them to work for you. I mean, you got a new member comes in; it's a young individual. Give him an office in your post. Get him involved.
Right.
And once he gets involved, you usually have him. I mean, he's there because it's the privilege of helping other veterans.
Right. And that sense of purpose within the organization, not feeling like, well, they just wanted me to be a number. They wanted me to actually do something.
Right. Right.
And that's an issue that, you know, is as we're running out of time here, but one that I definitely wanted to touch on. Membership for the VSOs. There are fewer veterans each day. You know, we're losing more and more of our World War II and Korea vets. The Vietnam era veterans are getting older. It is a time where the number of veterans is decreasing, and as such, membership levels are decreasing in a lot of veterans organizations. Is there anything that you think AMVETS can and should be doing, again, to address those younger veterans who are going to be the ones continuing AMVETS? Beyond giving them a position in the post, what else can AMVETS do to attract and keep, more importantly, those younger veterans who they get to sign up?
Well, AMVETS is the oldest and largest congressionally chartered VSO in the United States. We are open to all veterans that honorably served in the armed forces of the United States.
Right.
We don't ask you any other questions except, did you honorably serve? And you are eligible to join AMVETS. You don't have to be deployed. You don't have to be boots on the ground in a foreign country. We would like for you to join AMVETS to help not only our veterans, help yourself, because by helping AMVETS, by helping other veterans, you're also helping yourself. And that's why we want to try to get these younger veterans in. And if you get these younger veterans in and get them involved, then they're going to bring their buddies in.
Right.
Like 3 years ago, I think it was, I was the recruiter of the year for AMVETS.
Wow. Congratulations. Belated.
But I didn't do it.
Huh.
I had four or five young, still active duty Air Force and Army personnel that joined my post. And I said, get your friends in here.
Right.
Get your buddies in here. They started bringing them in one and two and three and four at a time. And we ended up signing up, I think it was almost 70 new members that year that were still active duty in the service.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yes, and thing about it is we've retained probably more than half of them.
Wow.
So that is a very good number.
That is an excellent number and something that, you know, I'd like to see for a lot of the VSOs who do so much great work, including AMVETS. And we've been speaking with Marion Polk, who is the new national commander of AMVETS. He will serve in that position for a year. Also, Joe Schinelli, the executive director of AMVETS, has been joining us. Now, Joe, Marion, if people want to find out more about AMVETS, want to find out more about Marion Polk, where can they go to do that?
All they have to do is go to AMVETS.org. Anything you want to know about us, any of our personnel, the membership director, the programs director, the legislative director, and it gives you all the contact information you need.
We're also on all of the social media platforms except for MySpace.
There you go. No MySpace. You guys have GeoCities? Oh, I'm jealous. I want to be on there too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.